magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, September 18th, 2020. And I'm going to jump right back into our book of James. As you know, for many months, Pastor Jason and I on Fridays would go through verse by verse, word by word, this book of James. And we had a little couple-week hiatus as Pastor Jason was attending to various things and some family time and other projects. But he's with me on the phone today. I'm at the home studio, and I'm calling him at his home. And we're going to dive right back into James. And we left off a few weeks ago at verse 12. So I'll begin with James chapter 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Oh, Pastor Jason, jump right back onto the saddle. Let's divide this word, maybe even pray up for our listeners, maybe some new to this radio ministry or some unfamiliar with the book of James or some like, what do you mean you're going to go verse by verse, word through word from this book? Why would you do that? So maybe pray up that all of our ears will be attentive of what God would say to us specifically. Maybe we can find points of application, maybe a word of encouragement or some healthy conviction that James, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned these words and God has them written out for our benefit, for our instruction, for our development, and also to reveal who he is as a sovereign, loving God. So maybe pray it up and give us maybe a little refresher course as we jump into these verses about being tempted.
Sure. Father, we thank you for each and every word that you authored into this book, Father, that you wrote using human hands, but guided by the voice of your Spirit. And Father, we pray that as the Spirit delivered these words into the hands of those writers, that they would be in the same way delivered into our hearts by the Spirit that dwells within us, Father, that we would be convicted by them, that we would see truth, that we would find a better pathway, one that leads towards you and to you. And Father, we pray for that to occur as we look at your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So every word, as we just said, is penned by God. Every word here. And one of the things that I believe when we read the Bible is a lot of the times, especially when it's a word of correction, it's because it was happening. You know, it was something that God, through his Spirit, was addressing in communities of faith and in the human heart. One of the things that is unchangeable and immovable throughout the entire biblical text is the condition of the human heart. I think about that in the Gospels when it says that Jesus knowing their heart. So God knowing the human heart, this unchanging thing, which always seeks for its own desires, which always seeks to go its own way, which is always about self-preservation, self-happiness, self. Mm-hmm. And the human heart doesn't on its own seek after God. The human heart doesn't on its own chase after God and see God. And so I love how this verse says, let no one say when he is tempted, because I believe that this was written probably in response to the fact that there were those who were saying, because that's something that's part of the human condition, isn't it, Mark?
Right.
I mean, whenever something goes bad, whenever something goes wrong, how easily do we blame God in big ways and small ways for whatever has come upon us? Mm-hmm. You know, we say like, oh, man, I can't believe God allowed this to happen. Why would God allow this to happen? Why did God make me like this? You know, all the things that we ask and all the questions or ways that we try to take whatever trial it is or whatever temptation we're going through and to lay it upon God as though God was the one who did it. Mm-hmm. And James here says, let no one say. That means no one. By the way, no one means no one.
Yeah, yes.
So that includes everyone. So when you say, yeah, but no. It says no one. That means everyone. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. God is perfect. He is perfectly good. God cannot be tempted by evil. God is not up there in heaven going, oh, I really don't want to do that. Why do I keep wanting to do it? I mean, God is not experiencing the trial of Paul in Romans 7 where he's like, I keep doing the thing I don't want to do. Why do I keep doing it? God is entirely perfect. But here's the thing. is that God will allow trials to come into our lives to build us up. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people, and I've heard this said many times, God doesn't give us more than we can handle. Listen, we've got to take that thing and throw it out with the trash, because God will give us more than we can handle. That statement that says God won't give me more than I can handle means that I'm viewing God from my side of the fence. And that's the wrong place to start. We always need to start with God. And God does give us more than we can handle, because we don't know how much we can handle. The only thing we think we can handle is whatever's in the fence or the boundaries of what we feel comfortable with. And so the minute we get outside of our comfort zone, it's more than we can handle. And for each of us, that's different every single day. Some days you get up and you feel like you can conquer the world, and the thing that was a hurdle yesterday is no longer a hurdle today. But the problem that we oftentimes have is that we don't know how much we can handle. We don't know how much it is that we need to actually grow, to stretch, and to be changed. And those are good things.
You know, Jason, I'm thinking too, when you said that, God does give us more than we can handle, so that we're forced to lean into him to say, it's beyond me. It just struck me that, yes, he does want us to have more than we can handle so that we recognize we need him.
Right. Corinthians tells us that we're jars of clay. And the idea is that we're weak and we're fragile, and that when we go through something in such a way that it should have shattered the jar, it should have destroyed the clay earthen vessel, it shows us that the surpassing power comes from God and not from us, that there's a power at work within us that's bigger than what's around us, and that we couldn't have done it on our own. So God not only gives us more than we can handle for his glory, but also so he can stretch us and grow us. Because, as I've said many times as we've read through the book of James, that old Charles Spurgeon quote, I've learned to kiss the waves that throw me into the rock of ages, that throw me back into Jesus. And so when we go through a trial, the greatest thing that can happen is that we are overwhelmed and we're thrown back into the arms of Jesus and our faith is enlarged. Mm-hmm. But now we have an enemy, and that enemy prowls around, the Bible says, and he seeks to tempt us. He knows what our weaknesses are. And so he comes and he wants to exploit those weaknesses, whether it's our pride, whether it's our desire for comfort, our desire for happiness, our fleshly desires, whatever it is, he wants to tempt us. And temptation, let's just think of that as the pathway towards sin. And what God wants to do is God wants to take us through trials, because that's the pathway towards greater faith. Mm-hmm. And so a great place for us to look at this is in the life of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, it says that when Jesus was led by the Spirit, so this is God. God is leading Jesus here, okay, into a trial. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to do what? To be tempted by the devil. God was leading Jesus to a trial, and in the midst of this trial, there was going to be some temptation. There was going to be some moment where, am I going to go left towards sin or right towards greater faith in God? And fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, everybody should understand that. This is a fleshly desire, hunger. This is a powerful desire, hunger. My wife was saying to me the other day, we were reading early in the Bible in Genesis, you know, Isaac and Esau and those stories. And all of the kind of things that are happening in those stories happen around food. Esau says, I'll give you my birthright for some of that red lentil stew. And before the blessing is given, go and make me some food. Food has such a power over us. I mean, when we smell good food, we do dumb things. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think I love cashews. Boy, when you open up a bottle of cashews, my mouth starts to water. I mean, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh. And then, you know, I mean, have you ever had something and you just keep putting it in your mouth and you're like, I don't know why I keep eating these? Because food has a great power over us. And here Jesus is experiencing this. So this is the fully man part of Jesus. This is the part where we can all say, amen, if I was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and I had not eaten, I would be so prone to temptation, it would be crazy. This is where we have to enter into the humanity of this story. So the devil comes to tempt Jesus when Jesus is in a place where Jesus is in the midst of a trial and he is susceptible to a temptation. And it says, and the tempter came. So when it says, and the tempter came, don't mistake this. This is not just simply a title. This means he's good at it. Hmm. you only get the title tempter when you are good at tempting people. And so the devil comes to tempt Jesus, and he is the tempter. He is good at this. And he says, if you are the Son of God, what's the first thing that the devil does?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing the devil does is try to make you believe that you're not who you know you are. First thing he says to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, Jesus knew he was the Son of God. But listen, how many times have moms and dads who are listening right now been tempted and they felt that voice in the back of their head say, if only you were a good mom or dad. If only you were a good employee. If only you could do that better. Even though you know you can do that better, even though you know you're operating in your giftedness and the best of your ability, how many times does that voice well up and say, now, if only you were? And that's what the tempter does here. Because one of the greatest places, one of the places I think that we have the most fragility is in our identity. Mm-hmm. And that's because we oftentimes place our identity in everything but Christ, everything but God. The firmest foundation of our identity is in God, and the shifting sand is everywhere else. And so the tempter comes and says to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If you're starving 40 days, 40 nights, that sounds like a good plan. But he answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Boom. How does Jesus answer temptation? With Scripture.
Right.
Let's go on to look. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. So he's saying, listen, he's not saying sacrifice yourself. He's saying, listen, throw yourself down. God will save you. It'll be okay. He will command his angels concerning you. So now Satan is giving Scripture back. He's saying, listen, what you really need is you need the Father to save you, and he'll save you. Just throw yourself down. And Jesus answered him, on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Jesus says, listen, no, no. And then Satan comes and says, I will give you all of this if you fall down and worship me. And listen, that speaks to our heart, because what do we want? We want more. We want more stuff. We want more things. More makes us feel better. That's why when we find that people have struggling with kind of their identity and who they are, they start to buy things. They start to go out and purchase things. They think they can find their identity in the things that they purchase or the things that they want, or looking at more things on the internet. That's one of the things that they found when they go into these homes where hoarders are, is that it really is a problem with their identity. It's a problem that they have in their heart that causes them to gather all this stuff around them. And so Satan says, listen, you're having some fun. I'll give it all to you. And Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Every time that Satan comes and tempts Jesus, Jesus responds back not with, but don't you know, he responds back with Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. So in the midst of this, going through this, Jesus doesn't move farther from the Father. He moves closer to the Father. And we know that because the Father sends ministering angels to him. And one of the things that we need to understand is how we go through trials while avoiding temptation is by focusing on the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to focus on Scripture. When we feel as though we're being tempted, Scripture has the answers. And it doesn't just have the answers in the midst of temptation. It has the answers for all of life. That's the reason why we need to be in the Bible. We need to be reading Scripture every single day. It is the best measure that you have to battle temptation. It is the best measure that you have to battle the devil. I don't know how many times I've had that kind of, I call it the voice of death that wants to come and speak death into your life. Then I've had to remind that voice of death who God says I am through
mm-hmm.
his word.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got to open up the book. That's the reason why the Bible tells us, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So it's not enough just to read the Bible. We need to take the Bible into our head and into our hearts. We need to feed on the Bible every single day, because there's going to come a time when a temptation is going to cross our path, and we need to pull back out that which we've hidden in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And God will use that in the middle of the battle. And listen, as that's being pulled back out of our hearts, I don't believe that we are doing that. I believe that's the Spirit doing that. And so what happens is, in the middle of that trial, as we're feeling overwhelmed, as we're feeling like, what am I going to do? The Holy Spirit ministers to us by pulling that Scripture back out and saying, here's how you're going to do battle. You're going to do battle with the sword of the Lord. this word, this verse, this thing that God has said, which is truer than the falsehood, which is trying to invade your heart in this moment. We're being thrown back into the arms of Jesus, thrown back into the hands of God, where we are the safest. The psalmist says over and over and over again, hide me in the shadow of your wings. Draw me into your strong fortress, your high ground, because that's where we're the safest. But for many of us, when we come into trials or we come into temptations, where do we run to? We run to Google. We run to kind of man-centered wisdom or logic. And what we need is that which comes from the Lord. So first of all, we need scripture. Second of all, we need prayer. Because prayer is our ability to talk, our honor to be able to talk with God, to be able to tell God what's afflicting us, to be able to tell God. I believe that in these 40 days in the desert, Jesus spoke often to the Father. Mm-hmm. I believe that he spoke often to the Father. And I believe that the Father was growing him. In fact, what's fascinating is that after this moment in the wilderness, you know, Matthew tells us that when the devil left him, behold, the angels came and ministered to him. But Luke adds a caveat to that that says, and then he went into the Galilee in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. So something that had happened to Jesus in that wilderness experience, that he came out with an increased awareness. Now, he is God, but I'm talking about this humanity, the human side of him, this increased awareness of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in his life. Mm-hmm. And that only comes from us being near to the Father. And so let no one say he is tempted, that I'm being tempted by God, because God doesn't tempt us, but God does allow trials to come into our lives so that we can glorify him and grow closer to him. And it says, but when each person is tempted, when he is lured or enticed by his own desire, so it's not God that's doing it, it's our own desire. We have to own and we have to, on some level, realize how complicit we are in the sin that happens. Mm-hmm. And that's what we always want to pawn off. It's not my fault. No, it is your fault. It is your fault. You know, one of my favorite scenes in the movie, I think it was that Fireproof movie, where there's a guy and he's struggling with pornography and he's struggling with pornography. And then there's that one scene where he's out in the garbage can and he throws his computer into the garbage can and he puts the lid on and the neighbors are kind of looking at him like, what is going on? You know, what's going on is that he decided to do battle with that in such a way that it could no longer be in his life. He realized that he was complicit in that and that he had the ability to take that computer out of his house, throw it into the garbage can, and say no. And that wasn't something that came by him because, listen, your own desires would keep that sucker plugged in and would keep looking at whatever's coming on that screen. But through the power and strength of the Holy Spirit, he had the courageous bravery to take that out and throw it in the garbage. We need to realize that we are being enticed by our own desires and understand and try and figure out why are those desires there. And then when desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. So when we follow those desires, what do we end up doing? We end up sinning. And when sin is fully grown, what does it do? It brings forth death. We shouldn't be surprised by that. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Sin is more than happy to write you a check for the work that you'll do of being sinful. It is more than happy to pay you. And for a while, it might seem fun. But the problem is that at some point, you have to cash that check. And the currency that sin uses is death. Mm-hmm. That your own death, your moral death, your ethical death, the death of your happiness, the death maybe of your family, of your job, of your career, all kinds of death that can happen to you. Not only that, but the death that comes from being separated from God because God hates sin. Mm-hmm. It creates a chasm between us and God, the kind of chasm that could only be covered by him sending his only son. And so when you're being tempted, don't say, God's tempting me. Instead, turn towards God and say, God, help me. Get into his word. Pray. Seek him. And know that he is your salvation in this moment. I love, as we close, the Lord's Prayer. It says, lead us not into temptation, because God doesn't do that. That's not the business he's in. But deliver us from evil, because that is what God does.
You know, I'm thinking, Pastor Jason, I'm going to try to close out with an arrangement of the Lord's Prayer. But I wrote down early on identity. It's capturing, it's understanding, it's taking to heart the identity we have in God. You know, because oftentimes, who are you? Who are you? Better yet, whose are you? And if we could take the heart, if we could recognize God created us, He loves us, He wants to work in our lives, He wants to redeem those points of failure, He knows we're inadequate, He knows we need a Savior, and He's desiring to have that relationship to nurture us, to grow us, to refine us so we can model Christ, so that we can be a healing participant in this world. And He wants to use us, but we have to recognize that we're His and that we're loved and we're beloved. And so, as you had mentioned, maybe some of these points, to get into His Word daily, to pray, to talk to Him, that can help us with these various temptations. And it starts out with, when tempted. So if somebody thinks, oh, I'm never tempted, hey, you're going to be tempted. We're all tempted. And we can turn to God and His Word and overcome it with His strength, not on our own. Well, I'm going to close out with the Lord's Prayer. May the song bring blessing and hope and encouragement. They're words that we can all pray. The Lord modeled it for us, and it's a way for us to connect with a God who loves us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, that you care for us, and you care for everyone tuned in today. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
For thine is the kingdom.